Welcome to Healing Class. My name is Pastor Sean. We're going to start off this morning with a word of prayer. Okay? Who's excited to be here this morning?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. One more question. Who here has a need in the healing area, healing aspect? I like your right hand in the air. You have one today. Okay. Excellent. Noted. And I'm going to ask that question a second time with a difference a little later on. I still want those same hands up when I do that. Deal? Is that a deal? All right. Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you, Father, for your power and presence in this room. Thank you, Father, for Holy Spirit, your presence here. Thank you, Lord, for just saturating this room right now with your power. Thank you, Lord, because you're mighty in this place. So awesome.
Thank you.
Lord, I just see and sense your tangible presence. Thank you, Lord, for healed hearts. Thank you, Lord, for manifestation of healing in bodies. Situations and circumstances changed by your power and might based on your love. I just worship you, Heavenly King. I just adore you. Just give you all the praise and glory for who you are. Thank you also, Father, for the great love where you loved us, each and every one, without exception, in this room, in this place. Give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just felt like remaining there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's healing class. As I go ahead and say a few things this morning, I just want us to be conscious of his presence. Let's just have that, you know, before our hearts. And he's here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's what? Okay. There's liberty. Another word for liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Freedom.
There's freedom. And so there's freedom in this room, for example, from things that previously held bound in the sense of a challenge, especially in the area of health. Essentially, what I'm saying is this. I see things dropping off this morning.
Amen.
Just let me just be clear about that. Things dropping off, things that have ailed over time. Ailments that, you know, that sometimes it feels like you can't shrug something off. You try to shrug something off and it just doesn't drop off. Well, I just saw things drop off this morning.
Praise God. Praise God.
By the Spirit of the living God. And I mean that. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark 5. Just be set to just partake this morning. Is that okay? Amen. All right. Let's be conscious of his presence. Mark 5. Essentially, we're going to continue on from where we left off last week. Mark in chapter 5. Because we dealt with the earlier portion from verse 21, today I just want us to jump all the way down to verse 35. I titled this brief teaching, this class, The Power of Believing. The Power of Believing. P-O-W-E-R. From verse 35. This is concerning Jesus and Jairus, where we started off last week. And so some of the things I'm going to say is going to be like a recap, so to speak, but then I'm going to, you know, build on that. Is that okay? While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, "Your daughter is dead." Once again, for background, Jairus had approached Jesus and told the Lord Jesus that his daughter was what? At the point of what? Death. "Please come to my house, lay your hands on her, and she will be healed. She shall be healed." He was definite about what his expectation was in approaching the Lord Jesus and in falling before him and worshiping. In making this heartfelt request from a father concerning his daughter. So now report comes in. "Your daughter is what? Is dead. Why trouble the master or the teacher any further?" Now, look at the next verse, friends. And it's important to note this. What do you see in your Bible? What are the next two words? Sorry? As soon as. Someone say that. Can we say that? As soon as. Now, this is Jesus. Okay? And I want us to see that example and how that relates. This is concerning Jesus. Listen, it says, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue," as it were, a what? A rebuttal. R-E-B-U. What's the next? T-T. A-L. We're awake. Praise God. All right. Immediate, as soon as, and I want us to see that, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, the report that was issued, that which came forth, what's the next thing? Jesus turned to the ruler, Jairus, that is, let's call it short, and says, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." Do not be afraid. Why? Because that report, as far as, oh, a daughter being dead, your daughter is dead. I don't know if anyone has lost, you know, a child in this room or in this area or in this space in that regard, but that's heart-wrenching. That's heartbreaking. The death of a child. The death of a loved one. Regardless, but I'm even saying how this is. So as crunching I'm lost for words. As sad and as bad as that news was, the next step would have just been heartbreaking. And Jesus turned to the man and says, what? "Do not be afraid." Don't let fear creep in. Don't let fear grab a hold of you. Don't let fear crush you. Only what?
Believe.
And I shared from the Amplified last week how that the Amplified puts it in this wise, by way of a paraphrase: do not be afraid, but only what? Keep on believing in me and what? My power. Keep on believing what? In me, that is, in Jesus. Because guess what, friends? What do you think brought the man to Jesus in the first place? What brought him to Jesus? Okay, the miracles, as in what? Why did he come to Jesus?
Because he believed he could heal.
Because he believed. So in spite of what was the news that came, that news is, like I said last week, that's end of discussion, someone said. That's the end of it. Someone said, it's a wrap. As far as it concerns, it's a wrap. So nothing else. But in spite of that, when it seems like there's no other way, when it seems there's no hope, when it feels like it's all done, Jesus said, do not be afraid. Only what?
Believe.
Only what? Keep on believing. And I talked about the present continuous, and that's our mode as Christians, mode as believers, mode as children of God. Never give up. Keep believing. Show you something here shortly as we continue on. Amen.
Amen.
That continuous is a stand. That's the stand of faith, friends. whereby you're not moved based on situation or circumstances. Don't stop. Don't change your mind. Don't alter your stance based on the report. Stance on what?
On believing.
That you can be healed. That you can get that manifestation of healing. Mm-hmm. Don't change your stance on God. Did you hear me say that? Mm-hmm. Don't change your stance on God, on that relationship, on that union, on that communion. Don't. Regardless. And friends, that can be hard at times. Based on what we face, things we see, and what happens. But don't change your stance. Because guess what? Beyond just believing to try and get a manifestation, beyond just believing to try and get something to show up or to be clear or be evident in your body, at the back of that, there's a greater fight. The enemy is trying to change your stance concerning what?
God.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about this. I'm hearing echoes on the book of Job. I didn't even go there. I didn't read nothing in that. Mm-hmm. But what his friends told him.
Right.
Oh, sorry. What his wife told him. Don't change your stance on God. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's a powerful relationship. It's awesome what he's done for you and who he is in where?
In me.
You. Okay? And that's vital as we continue on. All right. Where were we? Let's go to verse 38. Sorry. We were at 36. Do not be afraid, only believe. 37. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a what? Tumult. And those who what? Wept and wailed what? Loudly. Who wept and wailed what? Loudly. Friends, this, as if it were needed, is the body of proof. This is the body of proof. This is the weight of evidence that, oh, just in case you heard a report from a far country when you were away, but now you're home, and guess what? As you approach, there's wailers. Now, whether we call them, you know, back in the day, they would have professional wailers, or whether it was personal or all of them combined, there was wailing, there was weeping, there was crying. So this is what? Added evidence that, one, the girl is what? Dead. So the first was a message, verbal. Now, situation and circumstance is also showing you that, hello, this is real, this is true, this is happening, this happened. Right? Let's look at the text. Those who wept and did what? Wailed loudly. Notice I didn't say anything to Jesus. Look into your Bibles. They didn't say a word to Jesus. But Jesus goes ahead to what? Respond. Someone say respond. He went ahead to respond to the situation. Look at it. Verse 39. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is what? Not dead, but what? Why the ruckus? The girl's not dead, she's only asleep. Bible reveals that they went on to laugh him to scorn, and you know, they ridiculed him and all of that stuff, because the Amplified, I believe, says it this way, that they wailed, there was wailing, there was whipping. Just in case we weren't sure the reason why or whatnot, it goes on to add, have an addendum in there that, because the girl was dead. And I know I asked that question last week. Was she dead? And we had some interaction in that regard. When Jesus, based on Jesus' response, look at what Jesus says.
Not dead, but sleeping.
But sleeping. And I asked, was she dead? To all intents and purposes, yes. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The resurrection and the life was present. And his presence, in his presence, always, friends, there's what? Can we say power together? Power. Always. Always. Every time. Look at it. This, friends, is, as far as the weight of evidence, the body of proof, is like, okay, a report comes in from the doctor. Or a lab. Someone was telling me about that this morning. I get to share. But he's not here, so I'm not going to, I'll take that another time. And tell you, oh, Mr. Egg, you have such and such disease. And you're going to have this, not for a week or two, not for a month, a couple of months or whatnot. You're going to have this for what? The rest of what? The overwhelming evidence is based on the wailers. And guess what? If anything else, the wailing and the weeping was what?
Loud.
Sometimes, how do those reports ring? How do those labs, when they come in, you take a test, you're waiting for either, I don't know if you get yours electronically or whatever it is, or you get that phone call. Say, oh, you got to what? You got to come in. Sometimes they don't want to tell you right away what it is, right? On the phone, but you have to come in. Something's up. We've seen something. Something's in your body. And then you get in there. Sometimes you go in there. Sometimes it's with dread or whatnot. But here's what I'm saying. I should ask the question last week. What's in your heart? In two instances, we see Jesus, after the report, he says, Bible says, as soon as he heard what was said, there was a response, immediate, saying what? Don't be afraid, only believe. Now, with the circumstantial evidence, when that came up as well, with the wailing and everything going on, notice I said they didn't say anything to Jesus, but he did also, immediately, what did he do also? He responded. Why all the wailing? Why all the weeping? Why all the crying? She's not what? She's not dead. She's sleeping. Refer to him as the resurrection and the life. There's something I said about this last week. I want to amplify somewhat from Romans 4:17. Can we go there? Oftentimes, friends, just before we read that passage, Romans 4:17, we allow the wailers to play, to dance, to sing, to just have a field day in our thinking, in our minds, in our hearts, in our thought processes, where we amplify it and the report and the news or what we see, what we're facing, and we make it. It's, and I'm not talking about Bob Marley and the wailers either, as far as music and playing and all of that stuff, but the report becomes so mighty before our eyes, because it has to do with you. It has to do with your body. It has to do with your heart. It has to do with something concerning you. Look at Romans 4:17. Per time. I want to look at the latter clause. God, who does what? Who gives life to what? The dead. And calls what? Those things which do not what? Exist. As though they what? Who has a different version? Does someone have the Amplified, for example? Anyone? Or a different version? Doesn't have to be the Amplified.
I have the Amplified.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
As it is, let's see. God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, Mr., can we get a fictitious name? Last week I used Eddie. Or Mr. So-and-so. I was going to say Mr. Jones. Jack Jones. I hope nobody bears that here. You have Parkinson's. You have or Miss Edith or Miss Tomorrow. You've got cystic fibrosis. You've got cancer of the lung. You've got prostate cancer. You've got high blood pressure. You've got whatever name it is. What's your immediate response to receiving such? Now, whether you verbalize it or not, here's what I'm saying. Whether you verbalize it or not, I'll share an example with you here shortly. Whether you verbalize it or not, there is in that moment a response. And the response is either a response in faith or is a response of what? What's the word we were looking at earlier? I'm not going to repeat it. Because that happened in my victory and set free class. Fear. And if fear creeps in, even if it does, or if there's a nuance or a notion of it in your heart or in your mind, what is your response? We've seen by example how that Jesus responded as a pattern for us also to do what? To respond. And your response is going to be based on what you have where? In your heart. I can't stress this enough, friends. Because we face things, what? On the daily. Oh, I've got this. Oh, no, what I have is eternal life on the inside. The Spirit of God living within. The self-same power that raised Christ Jesus up from the dead. Or is the response is, oh, this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Who dwells resides on the inside of me. And there's no room for whatever you just mentioned. Now, again, let me state this. Whether you're saying it verbally, because depending on where you are and who you're talking to and the atmosphere, what's going on, whether you verbalize, if you verbalize it, great, awesome. But even if you don't verbalize it, what's the response of your heart? In your heart. Is it of faith? I don't even have to go to Matthew 4 as far as the temptations and how Jesus responded, but I see a pattern in his life. I see a pattern in his walk. Especially also, I use this passage for in the area of healing. There's a response. The self-same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of me. Mm-hmm. Can you make a declaration? So that you also, like your Father, two ways, can call those things that be not as though they what? And I've shared in this place, and then they are what they are. They come to be. Or, as in Jesus, they said the girl was dead. But did Jesus agree and align with that? No. What did he do? He said, no, she's not dead.
Yeah.
So we can also do, the reverse of that. And say, okay, they said you have this. But then in your speech, in your thinking, in your heart, so, no, I don't have that. That's not my lot and portion. Not in this body. That's not my, I've not been called to that. I am the healed of the Lord. 1 Peter 2:24. And you can recite that and have that in your heart. And then that is your immediate response. Who himself bore our sins upon his body on the tree, being dead to sins, you live unto righteousness. By whose stripes? We were healed, and then it's not just generic or general. You personalize that for yourself. By whose stripes I am healed. Response. And your response, friends, is immediately keyed to your believing. Shows you believe. And not just believe as in past tense, but that's your state. You're a believer. You believe. Mm-hmm. Last year, as far as for me personally, they were trying to say, this is from the hospital, they were trying to say that I had, diabetes, the onset of it, when this, there was a way they phrased it. Yes, exactly. and then she sat there and said, from this result and this, I said, oh, you have pre-diabetes and all of that stuff. And then the immediate response thing that came to my head was, and this is, permit me to say this, I'm going to say it exactly the way it came when she said that. And she said, oh, you're pre-diabetes and whatnot. I said, you and who? As in, that was just the thing that I dropped. You and who? As in, not me. That's like, that's the reason I'm saying that. It's kind of a Nigerian expression, you know, so in a loose way of speaking. Said, you and who?
Yeah.
Nah, that's for you. Yeah, exactly, not me. You keep that to yourself. That ain't my portion, that's yours. Like, you and who? You're not talking to me, that's for sure. Yeah, right, because diabetes, forget that. No, not concerning me. It's just that state of awareness and consciousness, and I was talking about that last week. And we'll talk about that as I begin to wrap up this morning. It's just there. It's not like an exam or a test where you're grabbing the books to go read and study so that you prepare. No. Friends, that's who you are. That's your state of being. And that's why we're in love. I'm in love with the Lord. You're in love with the Lord. And that's your state of being. It's fellowship. It's relationship. You are in the Word. You are in the place of prayer. You're in the place of thanksgiving. Regardless of what's occurring or happening in your atmosphere, in your life, in your situation, in your circumstance. Till tomorrow it says, let everything that has breath do what? Praise the Lord. So I don't care what's going on, not because I'm careless or but I don't let that hinder my relationship, hinder my oneness with the Father of spirits, of which in the first degree, you are spirit. Oh man, I don't want to digress or get into something else, preach something else this morning. But my immediate response was, you and who? And then she went to show me the numbers and everything. I said, okay. I said, okay, you come back and this, and then I said, okay, that's great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Next time the test was done, pre-diabetes, boop, nothing. And I'll tell you this. So that was dealt with by the power of God. So whatever it was, diabetes, whoop, crushed.
Yeah.
That was on the one hand. And then immediately she comes up with something else.
Yeah.
I kid you not, friends. Now, this one that she pronounced, I'm not going to say it until, I'm going to keep it till like next week. So you're here next week. Okay. All right. I'm going to share that next week. Yes, Lucy.
I just like to say that every morning when we start the day, we need to be strong in the Lord and filled with the Spirit.
Mm.
Because we don't know what's going to attack us that day.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you went to the hospital, you had to be built up in your faith before you even went. Because if you're not, you're just going to get flattened.
Mm-hmm.
So even as Christians, spirit-filled believers, we have to keep our faith strong because we don't know what arrows the enemy is going to shoot at us.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yes, Mary.
This is exactly like what happened with you. When Ronnie had the heart attack, and we went to we weren't even thinking heart attack. We didn't think death, because we're talking the Word, everything like that. And we get to the hospital, because they had to take him there in emergency, and the cardiologist came out, and he was talking to the kids and me, and he says, if you wouldn't have brought him in, he would have died. And I was like, what? Well, when he said that, the Holy Ghost said, yeah, and he'd have been raised up. That's
praise
what
God.
He said inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say it.
Yeah.
But it's like death? What are you talking about? You just like you said, you
right.
just didn't identify
right.
heart attack.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Right.
You know, because our minds don't go death, heart attack. Yeah. It's like
amen.
You're not on that path
amen.
Of thinking.
Yes. Yes.
Don't you think?
That's absolutely. Absolutely. And it ties in, and I'll share with that. Thank you, Mary. So Lucy, Ephesians 6:10, it says, be strong in the Lord and what? And the power of his might. It's his might. And guess where that might is? In you, in me.
Yeah.
It's not external to you, but be strong in that. That means there's trust in him and there's focus on who he is in you and what you have. Because you're his now. And he dwells on the inside of you. And that's always critical. And that's what's going to ooze out when that happens. It's like on the heart attack one I shared a couple of weeks ago, where immediately, the thing that came to me was, I believe it was John 14:30. It says something about the enemy, or I can't remember the phraseology. The evil one comes and he has nothing in me.
Ooh, that's good.
Now, contextually, obviously, there's a context that Jesus is speaking of, but I'm saying the word, you've made the word so alive in your heart,
yep.
That's what's gonna ooze out when you're pinched and pushed and pushed to the wall and all of that. What's gonna ooze out? What's gonna come out is what? The word. Because the life of God is in you. And you're so conscious of who you are. Friends, being conscious of who you are in Christ. Being conscious of who you are in Christ and the conviction that you have concerning him in your heart speaks every time beyond what is seen, beyond what is felt, beyond situations and circumstances. Conviction speaks. What is conviction? Firmly held belief or opinion. And contextually as concerns the word, conviction based on the word must be in the word. Always. Why is this important? Why is conviction important? Look at verse 40. And what do they do when he said she's sleeping? And they ridiculed him. Our version says they laughed him to scorn. Amplified said because they knew the child was what? Dead. What was his response to being ridiculed? Who knows? What was his response? I love scripture. The next verse says, next portion of the line says, but when he had put them all out. After he had put them all out. Every time I see that, that is the wailers, the screamers, the people who are crying, who were doing all that stuff. I don't want to use the word the dramatics because this was real life stuff. A 12-year-old girl. Bible says, that always thrills me every time. It says, but when he had put them all out. I looked at some versions for that. A version says he threw them all out. Jesus wasn't playing. Friends, Jesus wasn't playing. And this is the self-same attitude we ought to have. We ought not to play. And something's going to happen real shortly as well. Okay? So keep in mind. Bible says, he threw them all out. Our version says, after throwing them all out of the house. Another version says, but when he had driven all of them outside. So Jesus took action right away. What? Fear, doubt, unbelief, all of that stuff. Out! Get out! So when those things or those thoughts try to come, based on the report or news or something that's coming, there's a response. High blood pressure, crazy numbers, arthritis, blood cell issues, as in like there's all kinds of things. Asthma, migraines, heart issues, whatever. Guess what? All of that, I did say blood pressure. Yeah, so all of that stuff, get out. In the name of Jesus, you're evicted right now by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Whether it's news, whether it's coming to you or whether you're feeling it or sensing it, whether it's something that you've carried, which leads me to the point. When we talked earlier about, when I talked about the body of evidence or the weight of evidence or the body of proof, about the fact that the girl was dead as they wailed, in relating that to us, how do we think that relates when we talk about the circumstantial? Because of time, guess what, friends? How does that relate? It's in the aspects where that infirmity or that ailment or that disease, for example, has been for what? A long time. Where you've had that thing, or where that thing has ailed you for a long time, or where the world and definition by life standard, guess what? You're aging. Who's heard that before? You're old. They didn't say you're older. They said you're old, period. You're just old, man. Old man, old woman, you're old. So because, with age, it comes. When I hit 40, sometimes I say, you're 40, so this and expect this. And I say, really? My expectation is my strength is renewed like what?
The eagle's wings. Mm-hmm. And the days of your age.
I carry the Son of Righteousness, S-O-N, not just S-U-N now, Son of Righteousness, where? On the inside of me, my strength is what? Renewed. And that's not just, oh, I'm going out there playing soccer. No, I'm saying active in being healthy, in being strong, in being agile and able to do what the Lord has called me to do.
Amen.
With joy, glee, gladness in my heart. Unrestricted. What did it say about Moses?
He considered
in spite of his age, his eyesight, none of that, nothing, nothing. There was no breaking down. There was no
natural.
So the world can tell you. So overwhelming body of proof can be, oh, you're growing. Oh, yeah, expect that now. Yeah, the knees are going to go. The hips are going to go. The eyes are going to go. Everything's going to go. And then nothing on you is really you, so to speak. My God.
They told me up there with arthritis.
Mm-hmm. Preach it, Kent.
He told me.
Have the strength
when
of...
When I get up there in the hospital with that, and I had a heart attack and died, I never go to the hospitals. They got terminology up there. I learned so much crap.
You became an expert based on information you received.
They're telling me this stuff that I've never heard of.
Right.
Before. And I come home and that's what's up here.
Simple, friends. That's what just...
They told me there's no cure for arthritis.
That's it. That's what takes over your mind. And once it's planted, and that's it. It seeps in. Yeah, whose report? Yeah. Whose report? Have the strength of conviction, friends, to kick out fear, anxiety, depression, all those things. Mm-hmm. By the word. Let's look at Proverbs in chapter 4. So by your words, whether calling those things that be not as though they were, kidneys function perfectly, lungs you function perfectly, 100% capacity, you speak life that way. Whatever that thing is, migraine, you're dissipated, you're done away with. You're removed by the power of the Most High, and it's just you. Whether calling those things that be not as though they were, and you see results, or you call those things that are as though they were not, and then you see results. Because you're not speaking just mere words, having power and authority. In the name of Jesus and by his spirit on the inside of you. It's so awesome. Decree and declare that by the power and authority vested in me by virtue of the new identity and new life that I have in Christ Jesus, such and such, you become a thing of the past in the name of Jesus. You melt away. And he'll give you the words, the creative words.
Exactly.
Holy Ghost, and before you know it, bang! Yeah. It's done. It's gone away. Last test, my BP used to be sky high. Now, when I saw the thing, I'm looking at it, I said, praise God. When the missus saw the thing, she said, is that your sheet or someone else's? Praise God. So awesome. Numbers. We were at Proverbs in chapter 4. My child. Now, reason why I want to read this is just to show us how the Word of God should be front and center in our lives and our living as far as focus. Because the things we're going to say are not just humanistic words or things, but it's based off of what? God's Word. It says, my child, pay attention. Reading from the New Living. My child, pay attention. Verse 23, by the way. 20 to 23, if I didn't mention that. Proverbs 4, 23. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to what my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Another version says, do not let them escape from your sight concerning God's word. Keep them where? In the center of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing and health to all their flesh. Amen. Keeping God's word front and center. Not reports, not labs, not interpretations, or any such thing. That was from the Amplified. Another says, fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit, which is heart, mind, it explains that. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. That's from the Passion. Jubilee says, for they are life unto those that find them and medicine to all their flesh. All of these are descriptive. This is a description. These are descriptions concerning God's word. Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. So as you leave this morning, question, rhetorical for you, what is in your heart? A picture I just got now is the thing of weight and balance. Mm-hmm. What's in your heart? Are you allowing unbelief, fear, trepidation, anxiety, all of those things to have more weight? Or is God's word all the weighty truth that you need to have that stake drawn, or that line in the sand to say, I'm healed and I know that I'm healed? Because guess what? When you get into the word to take a look at it, to explore it, what you see in there, friends, and what I adjure you to see, what I encourage you to see, my submission this morning, friends, is that as you look in there, there's only one thing you're going to see. And guess what it is? The done reality.
Yeah.
Of the cross, which is what I started with 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. How that it's done. What James emphasized last week and I touched on. That's what the body of evidence, the weight of the matter, is that Christ did it. And that you are healed, truly, unquestionably healed. That's what you're going to hold on to, latch on to. So that when the signs and the circumstances, things try to show you different or whatnot, that strong resolve is steely in there, because you're looking at, you've seen it as past tense, that is done. And that's why you're unshakable in your what? In your believing.
Amen.
Prayer team, would you come up? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. So I asked a question earlier. I said, if there was anyone in this room, I want you to please take advantage of this opportunity. If you raised your hand earlier on, I'd love for you to come up right now. You raised your hand earlier on. There's a challenge in the area of health. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Don't let the enemy talk you out of this one. I don't care, because he always gives reasons why you possibly shouldn't. Okay, praise God. Anyone else? I'm going to pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to pray and then close this out. We'll be back in time for the service at 10:45. But we're going to just spend some time in ministry. And I see victory in this room already this morning. It's just awesome. You can't believe what I'm seeing in the spirit. Well, praise God. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Father, for every soul here present. I thank you, Lord, for the victory that is represented in this room. I thank you, Lord, for the healings that are made manifest already. I thank you, Lord, for freedom. Your sons and daughters walking in freedom, walking rid of infirmity, of sicknesses, of disease, of ailments that have ailed them over time. Because they're free indeed. And this is by the blood, the life of your son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the past tense reality of your healing holding sway and taking sway in this room right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.